This is a song that there's a lot of Christmas songs out there, and not too many Hanukkah songs. So wrote a song for all those nice little Jewish kids who don't get to hear any Hanukkah songs. Here we go.
Put on your yarmulke. Here comes Hanukkah. So much Hanukkah to celebrate Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the festival of lights. Instead of one day of presents, we have eight crazy nights. When you feel like the only kid in town without a Christmas tree, here's a list of people who are Jewish, just like you and me. David Lee Roth lights the menorah. So do James Conkirk Douglas and the late Dinah Shore. Guess who eats together at the Carnegie Deli? Bowser from Shanana and Arthur Fonzarelli. Paul Newman's half Jewish, Goldie Hawn's half too. Put them together,
what a fine looking Jew.
You don't need deck the halls or Jingle Bell Rock, cause you can spin a dreidel with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, both Jewish. Put on your yarmulke, it's time for Hanukkah. The owner of the Seattle Supersonics.
That's right, it's Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song, which can mean only one thing. It's another round of Thomas's Eat Crazy Nights, as it's the holiday season, and I am, of course, your Primetime host, Thomas Primetime Mattis. Back again to celebrate the holidays as only a good Jewish boy can, by going all the way to the fifth day and saying, oh, f*** it. and on this show, of course, we have a special guest, as we do every night. And on this episode, from across the pond in England, we have Andrew Leyland of Hey Kids Comics.
Hello.
So, Andrew.
Hello, Thomas. Oh. Sorry, I trod all over you, though. It's such a professional organization, this podcasting.
Yeah.
You'd think I hadn't been doing it for nearly 2 years.
Professional podcasting, a strange combination of words if I ever heard one.
It's an oxymoron, that's for sure.
Yes, but Andrew is joining us from across the pond, as, you know, those hip kids say. And and he's joined us to talk a bit about the holidays. And so, have the holiday season gotten started over there in England?
Yeah, kind of. First of all, thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you're very welcome, sir.
It's a pleasure to be here. They kind of just start earlier every year. We normally get Halloween and Bonfire Night out of the way before Christmas really starts. But no, it's kind of, you start seeing the adverts in the middle of October now, so there's Christmas trees everywhere, and every other advert's a Coke advert.
We were in this was about a month ago, Halloween hasn't even come yet, and we were going to somebody's house, and there's all these lines of Halloween decorations, and all of a sudden there's this one house, and it's got Christmas lights up, and I'm like, I'm sorry, time out, personal foul. A false start on Christmas decorations, house on the right.
Yeah, it's a bit early at this point, but we keep getting Facebook messages from people showing us that their trees are up, whereas we don't put ours up till the kids finish school. That's the treat. As soon as they finish school for Christmas, that's when the tree goes up.
Yeah, you'll never see any Jews put any, you know, Hanukkah lights up early. for all the things that we were prepared, that's the one thing we never do in advance is Hanukkah lights, which oddly enough isn't in our Jewish Bible.
Hanukkah lights.
Well, Hanukkah itself isn't actually in the Torah,
right.
Or it's actually, no, I'm sorry, the little cola went down the wrong cola itself, which makes no sense. But no, it is. It's actually in the King James Bible,
right?
Or the New, or just the New Testament. That's where it comes from.
Right.
But yeah, so we're gonna get started as we usually do. And of course, we start off with our first thing, which is Christmas tradition. So, Andrew, I'll leave it to you. What are some of your favorite Christmas or holiday traditions that you do with your family, and maybe from your childhood?
Well, primarily we've invented our own since my wife got married to me, obviously not to anyone else, and we dropped a couple of sprogs. The first one really is we celebrate our Christmas on Christmas Eve, because we take it in turns to go to each family house, because we both have quite large families on both sides. So last year it was my turn on Christmas Day to go and see my family, so this year it's Angela's turn to go to her family on Christmas Day. So we have our Christmas dinner on Christmas Eve, where it's just the five of us, and Angela spends all day cooking, because she cooks a pretty good Christmas roast, much better than I would manage, and she tends to watch Muppet's Christmas Carol while she's cooking, and that's her Christmas tradition. And I just poodle around, normally playing on Call of Duty and just staying out the way.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh at that.
No, that's perfectly
no, right. That's the idea of you portaling around on Call of Duty while she's in the...
Yeah.
For whatever reason, make me laugh.
Yeah, no, I've learned to just stay out of the way when the Christmas Eve cooking's going on. I tried to help a couple of times when we first did it, and it just didn't go well.
But yeah, and I do know in England you also have the tradition of Boxing Day. You want to let people over here know what Boxing Day is?
Boxing Day is the day where everybody goes mad, and we have lots of after Christmas sales, and shops open at some ridiculous time of the morning so that you can go and buy all the stuff that you didn't buy for Christmas, because obviously they feel that you've not spent enough money already. So essentially, I think it's similar to your Black Friday. In many
just in reverse.
Yeah, but just in reverse. And it's my understanding that there is a female clothing shop called Next, and my wife reliably informs me that you do not go anywhere near there on Boxing Day if you value your life.
It's interesting. The way I heard that they described was basically it's the day where everybody takes back the gifts that they don't want. That's why it was called Boxing
Day. Yeah. Primarily, it's the day off to recover from the amount of alcohol and food that you consumed on Christmas Day. And
well, I would think you English would have a problem consuming your alcohol and need a day off.
No, but it's become another excuse to drink for another day. So it's kind of God. I always feel sorry for the people who have to work on Boxing Day. I really do. Especially as I say, you will see these adverts on TV starting on Christmas Eve saying the Boxing Day sales start at 6 a.m. on Boxing Day, and you're like, who the hell is up at 6 a.m? But apparently there are any number of crazy ladies who absolutely desperately need to get to the next sale at 6 o'clock on Boxing Day. I don't know.
I did Black Friday once. I'm never doing that again. But
yeah,
I guess I'm one.
I understand it's a bloodbath.
Yeah. I was there. This person's handing out things. I'm like, oh, I guess he's helping out, keeping the line in order. Turns out, no, he was just some bloke, as it's put, trying to, you know, make it orderly. That didn't turn out well.
I was going to say, good luck with that.
because the thing, we were at Best Buy, there were people that stood out all night, and yes, I stupidly stood out all night in this line for 12 hours, or I guess it was, yeah, 12, 10 hours, waiting for the store to open at 6 a.m. When Best Buy opened those stores at 6 a.m., they didn't care whether the person standing at the front of the door had been standing there all night or had just rolled up in his car.
Scrum!
So yeah, after that I'm never doing it again, but I guess I'm one of those poor unfortunate people that's working Christmas, and I think probably Christmas Day, because a couple weeks ago my boss comes up and says, you're working Christmas. I'm like, I am? He goes, you're Jewish, right? I'm like, yeah, you're working Christmas.
I'm sure that's discrimination.
It could be, but I can't kind of argue with the guy because it kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah. No, I always feel sorry if people have to work over Christmas. I think Christmas, I really do think Christmas is the one time of year everything should shut and everyone should get a couple of days off.
Yeah.
We can go without capitalism for at least 2 days, I would have thought.
You would think. Actually, the reason I know a Boxing Day is actually has a geek involvement in it. Do you watch Stargate at all? Or
I've watched a couple of episodes of Stargate. Uh-huh. I never got into it in the same way that I got into Buffy and Star Trek and all of that stuff.
I think he may have been in some episodes that... have you been watching the recent Arrow?
Yes.
Series? You know the episode where he has to... Arrow, I mean Ollie, I should know this because I do an Arrow podcast, but you would think I knew this, but where Ollie gets Laura to try to help save that guy's life from lethal injection,
yes.
And he has to go out and figure it out.
Yes, that was the one that was on over here last week.
Yeah, the guy that Ollie handcuffs to the train chat, that actor is named Kirby Morrow.
Right.
And he's been in Stargate, he's been in a lot of TV shows, he's from Vancouver. But he's also a voice actor, and does a lot of anime work for the Ocean, and animation work for that matter, for Ocean Group.
Right.
He's been in like Transformers, G.I. Joe, and of course my favorite anime called Gundam Wing.
My kids like Gundam Wing.
Oh, they love Gundam Wing? Mm. Oh, so you know Gundam Wing. Wow, I could have just made this easy by just talking about Gundam Wing.
No, I don't know Gundam Wing. I know my children watch Gundam.
Oh, okay. He plays a character in there named Troy Barton, which is making this more long-winded than it is. But basically, I went to interview him for my podcast, and he had just recently released a movie called The Great Boxing Day Caper.
Oh, yeah.
And so I actually learned about Boxing Day from him and his experiences from Canada and England.
Right, so you do not have Boxing Day.
We actually do not have Boxing Day.
Right, so after Christmas Day, everyone just goes back to work?
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow. How do you recover from the copious amounts of alcohol in such a short amount of time?
Well, you know us Americans. We never saw a car we couldn't drive, no matter regardless the alcohol we had consumed.
Fair enough. Is that like that old Bill Hicks sketch? Remember when drinking was perfectly acceptable? Well, are you okay, son? Yeah, I just had a skimful, officer. Okay, go about your way.
It's like that Family Guy. I think it was one of the Christmas episodes where he goes, it's the one where Meg gets the car, but it's like at the beginning, like, okay, we need to go home. Okay, who's not drunk? All right. Who's that special kind of drunk where you're drunk, but it actually makes you a better driver?
Yeah.
I'm that kind of drunk. And ladies and gentlemen, you just, you know, witnessed this, one of those favorite and famous podcast off-topic rants. So let's get back to traditions. Do you have any other traditions that you enjoy?
No, primarily my wife and I like to take some time off before the children break up for school so that we get some time on our own to go tootling around on our own. But primarily that's it. Christmas is our time of year to do absolutely nothing. And as far as I'm concerned, that's worth preserving.
Very true, very true. For me, it is always funny, you know, the first night. I joke about getting to the fifth night and saying, oh, f*** it. But it really is true. It's fun on that first night because of all the tradition and the family gets together and we celebrate. You know, usually the first weekend of Hanukkah, which is usually, unless it's a rare occasion, it's usually by the third or fourth night. Mm. You know, it's fun to get together for the annual Hanukkah party and everybody, you know, gets gifts from different people.
Right.
More as you grow up. But it really is, I think, by the fifth or sixth night, it's like, you want to light candles? Are you f***ing crazy? It'll heat up the house. And I want to cuddle in my covers. It's sad. Like, arguments, like, there's no possible way six little candles will heat up the house that much. You don't know that. Yes, I do. It's science. I kid you not. This actual conversation actually happened last year. In my house. But it's actually interesting because my father was actually Irish Catholic, which from what I hear is a special brand of Catholic that I don't want to know about. Yeah, so when I started real young, I actually started celebrating Christmas. So I do remember some of like the Christmas traditions of hanging up trees, and I enjoy watching other people do that. Mm. But it is, I think, to one of my favorite traditions when I was young was the fact that when we moved to Florida, away from my father, we celebrated both Christmas and Hanukkah.
Right. Best of both worlds.
The best of both worlds. So that was always funny in my mind, you know, getting to stay in Providence school. I got 6 presents for Christmas. Yeah, well, I got 8 for Christmas and 8 for Hanukkah. Which sounds horrible to say, but you're a little kid and you can't be held responsible for the stupid, screwed up things that come out of your mouth.
No. If we were punished for the stupid things we did as children, we wouldn't make it to adulthood.
No, we wouldn't. With that, another part of Christmas traditions is the so-called Christmas presents. So, what are some of your favorite presents from your memory?
When I was a kid, the thing that started me on my rocky road to loving comic books, particularly American comic books, was in 1979, my nan bought me 4 hardback annuals, which essentially are the precursor to the current graphic novels. Over here, we would get annuals every Christmas. And she bought me Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, and The Incredible Hulk. And I still have all 4 of those upstairs in various states of disrepair because they've read that much. And but I will not get rid of them because they're all written in by me now. And they started me down. So it's all her fault, basically. A bit later.
Oh, sure. Blame Mom.
Yeah, blame her. A bit later than that, I got a chopper bicycle at Christmas, which was, do you remember the rally chopper, which had the big back wheel and the tiny front wheel and then the gear stick right where your crotch is?
So I remember about those. I think it was before my time, but I do know of those.
Well, one year I got the chopper bike, and I was called into the kitchen to just help dish up something. I must have only been about 10 or 11, and I came back in, and it was in the living room. So that was one of my fondest ones. Also, a bit later, I once got a huge box of old Spider-Man comics going all the way back to, like, 1972, 73. All the British reprint magazines up to about 79 at that point, because I started reading it in about 1980. And looking back, it was quite obvious that I'd got this, because my nan would keep saying, "Have you got lots of these black and white Spider-Man comics?" And I was like, "Well, I've got the ones you buy me every week, Nan. I don't have any from prior to that." And then on Christmas, I opened this huge box full of them. And that was one of my favourite presents. Of late, my wife always tries to get me something excellent, and she normally succeeds. So she got me an Absolute New Frontier one year, which is wonderful. I think it was the first Absolute. You know those big DC Absolute books?
Yes.
First one of them I ever got. And they started doing the Mego dolls again. Well, I think they've discontinued the DC Comics ones now. But one year she got me the Superman and Green Lantern Mego doll facsimiles, the 8-inch ones, the new ones that look like the old Mego dolls. And they're always, they take pride of place on my shelf now.
Well, for me, it definitely just it comes to 3 distinct years. I mean, for the most part, it is fun. You know, it is when you get an adult, primarily from your family, your immediate family that you live with, it is, you know, you get one thing. And like last year, I got my camera, which I love so much, my HD camcorder.
Oh, all right. What brand was it?
I believe it was a Sony.
Right, cool.
Actually, if I get up, and sorry, folks, for sounding so distant, as I look over and try to get it out of the corner, I do believe it's a Sony. No, it's a Samsung. Right. Excuse me. But it's full HD, and I love that I've gotten some great footage at some conventions with that. If I can only figure out how to work the lighting.
You have to have a lighting man come around with you.
Yeah, and someone with a boom mic.
Yeah. Do it like a proper thing.
Yeah. So it doesn't pixelate and look when the shadows are like peeking through the blinds of the convention you're at, but that's a whole different story. But the 3 distinct years, and I'll go from the more recent to the latest, because the latest is actually the best. But this was one of the years when I was just, because we started, like I said, started out celebrating Christmas, moved to Florida, celebrated Christmas and Hanukkah, and then just celebrated Hanukkah. And this is one of the first years where we just did Hanukkah. And this was it was 96. It was the year Independence Day came out.
All right.
And for the first and last day, my mother got me the F-16 Hornet jet and the Alien fighter ship from Independence Day. And it was these vehicle toys that actually had a figure that you could put in, like wings and tops could break off, had fiery missiles, everything. It was very cool. But the reason actually I remember it is that was the year my mother got me an entire set of the Master Arts Godzilla figures.
Oh, yeah.
Being a huge Godzilla fan, I am. This was the figures from the more recent Heisei era of Godzilla, which included Space Godzilla and Mecha King Ghidorah and Mothra and Fire. And of course, the big figure of that group was Cyber Godzilla. Godzilla with cyber armor. Because that's what Godzilla needs.
That's fine.
Cyber armor, lasers, and missiles. Because he's not destructive enough.
No, so let's give him a missile.
Yes.
That building that he didn't stand on, he can nuke.
It's like I'll see toys where it's basically the fantasy of dinosaurs with lasers, which it basically is. But the second one, which goes back to I want to say 93, possibly 94, it was the year Super Nintendo came out. Because I got my Super Nintendo. I remember going to the store to cash in because the Super Nintendo came in with this little thing to where if you send it away in 2 to 3 weeks, you get a coupon to get a free game from like a Walmart and that stuff. And that's how I got Mario All-Stars.
Right.
That and tons of other stuff. But the other thing is that's when I got my new bike, which I had for 12 years. I say new bike because I actually had a bike before that, and to prove that I'm actually from the hood, the reason I needed a new bike was because my old bike had its wheels stolen off it, and I found it one morning literally on blocks. The bike was chained to a pillar. They didn't want the bike, they just wanted the wheels. They took the wheels and left, and it was up on blocks, proving I'm from the hood. But my favorite is because it actually does involve a great Christmas classic. It was 19, I want to say 88 or 89. It was the year Nintendo came out. And basically, that's what I wanted, a Nintendo. And I remember getting Hungry Hungry Hippos. I was like 4 or 5 at the time. I got like that game where you flip the monkeys into the tree.
Right. I remember that.
At that point, up until the final gift that I got, my favorite toy actually ended up being was a video my dad got me that he put in my stockings. It was of Hulk Hogan, because I'm a huge wrestling fan. And it was a VHS of Hulk Hogan before he had became Hulk Hogan.
Right.
It was when he was using his actual Thunder Lips persona back in AMW, which if you ever get to see that, it's hilarious as hell. This like predates Hulkamania and coming back to WWE and all that stuff. So, in other words, I had a very messed up childhood. But the gift, like I said, was Nintendo, and it didn't come. And I was sad, and I said, "Dad, but I really wanted Nintendo." He says, "Well, what's this back here?" And there was this love seat sort of couch combination that we had, and there was this teeny space where you could literally hide something. He out of nowhere pulls this gift out, gives it to me, I rip it off, and there's my Nintendo. It's literally just like it is in A Christmas Story, which is why I love telling that story. Literally, I live that Christmas story moment. So, which I'm sure we'll be talking about again
later on.
Later on. With that, let's move on to holiday food. For you, what are some of your favorite holiday foods?
I just like the traditional roast turkey and roast potatoes and gravy. I just like what the wife makes. I think she does a really good job with it. We don't have anything particularly odd or weird. We will occasionally get big tubs of chocolate stuff just to munch on. But we try not to overeat over Christmas. Overdrinking is a completely different thing.
That's okay. Yeah. Overeating. But we because overeating takes away space from overdrinking.
Yes, that's very true. And seeing as my wife's given up drinking, I have to do it for both of us.
I think for me it is, of course, potato pancakes, which are very, very good. And I do like all – I'm a very sweet type of person, so I love sweets. I love the holiday cookies, the pumpkin pies. Mm. Especially if you mix pumpkin pie with cheesecake, which it's a fad here that's going the past couple of years. Let's see how many different holiday things we can mix together.
See, we don't have pumpkin pie or anything like that, as far as I know. I mean, I've certainly never eaten it.
You've never had pumpkin pie?
Nope.
Wow. No, it's really is good. You know, it's got cinnamon in and that stuff, and it's sweet but spicy, especially when you have whipped cream on it. I wish I could send you some.
Yeah. It'd probably go off in the post, I would imagine.
I can imagine it being pulled over by the British Customs for whatever reason.
Yeah, because it probably cost more than a tenner to send it over, so they'd milk more tax out of us for it. That's probably what it is.
Yeah. I mean, you guys do have pumpkins, though. And
oh, yeah, for Halloween.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just saying, because it's not that hard of a recipe to actually make.
No, you just need a pumpkin, one would imagine.
Or pumpkin filling, basically, but are there any other foods that you can think of that you like? I mean, you basically said the roast, and you know, I agree with you. I love the roast. I love the feast.
I like pigs in blankets.
Pigs in blankets?
Yeah, I like the sausage with the bacon wrapped around it. Ange always makes a couple of those to go with the roast, and they normally last for a couple of days, so we end up having them on sandwiches throughout the rest of into Boxing Day, when you're still having turkey butties and you're still having pigs in blanket sandwiches. So she normally makes these big, huge sausages wrapped in bacon. And they're
well, I think our idea of pigs in blanket are a tad bit different. Somebody says pigs in blanket, I think hot dogs in a pastry crust.
No, we don't put it in pastry. And we don't fry them in batter. That's a Scottish thing. They take Mars bars and stuff and fry them in batter and sell them in chip shops. That's the very first time I went down to Scotland and saw that they fried Mars bars. I was both aghast and repulsed and fascinated all simultaneously.
But trust me, I am not saying that hot dogs wrapped in bacon is a bad thing. Trust me, since my body is a shrine to pork itself, hot dogs surrounded in bacon sounds wonderful.
Yeah, you should try. It's very easy. Just make sure your sausages are cooked properly, and then you wrap.
Oh, I've actually had that before.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah. Let's move on to Christmas literature, and you know, besides comics, are there any sort of holiday literature that you read?
Every Christmas we would buy a different Christmas story as the kids were growing up. And I think we worked our way through all of them. The Grinch Sold Christmas and there's all the others that I can't remember anymore. What Christmas stuff did we read as growing up? Slinky Malinky, the Christmas one. The Night Before Christmas. And we went through all of them. And then now what I do is for the past 5 years, I've written our own Christmas story that normally stars my children. And have I done four or five of them now at this point? I've done four or five of them. So every year I write our own Christmas story now, so I don't have to go out and buy one. I'm thinking of publishing them at some point.
I can, listening to your podcast, I can only imagine how good those can be.
I'll have to send you one. Hold on, let me see if I can. We'll carry on chat. I'll see if I can find one.
Yeah. I mean, but for me, you said Night Before Christmas. I do. I love sort of the classics. I love the Night Before Christmas. I love the different sort of both readings and listenings of a nightmare.
It's very easy to Nightmare Before Christmas now, isn't it?
Well, I think we're trying to jump ahead is the problem. Yeah. But you know, A Night Before Christmas, you know, sort of the classic stories. I think Dickens' Christmas Carol is always something I try to at least read once during the holidays, if at bit speed reading.
Yeah, well, the thing with that, it's been done from everything on the $6 million man.
Yeah, it's a story you know, but you at least try to pick up and read a couple of pages of the actual book, just to keep the tradition. But... I really don't have that. We'll get to Christmas comics later, but you know, I don't have many Christmas comics to memory. But it's mostly just, you know, the poems and sort of the classics that, you know, everybody reads.
Yeah.
On that, you know, you remember from your childhood.
Yeah, yeah. That you then share with your children and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. With that, let's move on to holiday music, which I'm sure you have a lot of.
Yes.
Well, what's some of your favorites?
It's not Christmas until I've heard The Pogues and Kirsty MacColl with Fairy Tale of New York.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always the one. Once I've heard that, I consider that Christmas has started. I quite like Slade's Merry Christmas, Everyone, because how can you not like Merry Christmas, Everyone? You must be some kind of fascist to not like a bit of Slade at Christmas time. There's a couple that you kind of get a bit fed up of after a certain amount of time. I'm not overly fond of anything by Cliff Richard, but I don't think Cliff Richard ever travelled over to America, did he?
No, the name does not sound familiar.
Right. Well, over here he started in like 1803, and he still continues to this day.
He's just a mummified corpse that they like ship out every Christmas.
Looking more and more mummified with every passing year. And yet, oddly, he still does Christmas calendars for the new year where he has no top on. And it's just not what you want to see when you're walking around town looking at the calendars. Because I'm looking at the Star Trek ones and the comic ones, and then there's a Cliff Richard one with no top on. And you can't help but think, Cliff, you're 406. Move on, dude. So... I'm not overly fond of anything by Cliff. I don't like Do They Know It's Christmas by Band-Aid, just simply because it's so overplayed, and I'm not a big fan of it. I can't stand Last Christmas by Wham, because I hate Wham, and I always have done. And I've not liked anything that George Michael has done since Wham, and I think that Andrew Ridgeley was the real talent behind the band, because Andrew Ridgeley knew when to quit.
No, tell us what you really feel.
He knew when to call it a day. I like Santa Baby. I like Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. I like the one that it's... I like Let It Snow, which I think is a great song.
I think for me, yeah, I love sort of the classics, Jingle Bells, and I love listening to different versions, because I am really... You know, I'm like, as Whoopi Goldberg says in Sister Act 2... I have eclectic. Eclectic? Yeah. You plug the thing in the wall and it makes your boombox go. Eclectic, not electric, you idiot. I couldn't resist that joke. Because I haven't done it in so long. But, no, I have eclectic takes. I can actually listen to country, then move to rap, then R&B, and then rock, and, you know. So I do like listening to... Twisted Sister. So I do love listening to different versions of classics. You know, Let It Snow, Jingle Bells, Jingle Bell Rock. You know, all the classics. I love the different Muppet albums.
Mm.
I it's one of those things, you know, I find myself, there are things that I did like as a child, and as I get older, I appreciate them more and more. And Muppets are one of those things that I appreciate more and more, along with, like, things like Disney and stuff like that.
Mm.
And so I definitely enjoy the different Muppet Christmas albums, especially the John Denver.
Yeah.
You know, I think everybody loves, you know, 12 Days of Christmas by Muppets and John Denver.
Mm.
But one of my favorite things is all the different Christmas comedy songs. Of course, for me, the two classics are Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song, because, goddamn it, it's the only song about Hanukkah.
Yeah, the one where he name drops all the people that are Jewish.
Yes, yeah. And he's done three of them, too.
Right.
It's amazing. I keep waiting for him to do a new one, because he needs to do a new one, because I think the last one he did was like 2000.
Right.
And I've listened to the third one, I'm like, you do realize that today's people would have no f***ing idea who these people are.
No.
Because he's talking about Little House on the Prairie. He's like, kids don't know that.
Yeah, what's that?
But and then there's Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer, which I love to sing.
Yeah.
Makes me sound horrible.
No, it's a great song.
Oddly enough, I actually had to work. We had Hurricane Sandy, or Superstorm.
Yes.
Sandy, because I'm in the New Jersey, Philadelphia area. And so I'm at work, and I actually have to work on the Monday that the storm is hitting New Jersey.
Right.
I kid you not, because we haven't lost power, so technically, you know, we have, apparently they were on we were on some special permit that said, well, as long as we don't lose power, we can continue to have our business open. Every other business in the area was closed, but us. And the sad part is, we did get the regulars. All the old people who apparently have nothing better to do with their life than to come into our fast food establishment. I won't put the name of the company
nope,
I work
otherwise.
For. Yeah. So while I was there, I actually started thinking up and making up a song that was basically Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer, but it was basically, you know, Grandma Got Washed Out by Hurricane Sandy. Which makes me feel horrible. But, you know, the different comedy, you know, I was talking about Night Before Christmas earlier. There's a funny recording from a radio morning show where they had a person of Latino descent whose English is not his first language trying to say The Night Before Christmas. But my absolute favorite, and I need to know if you've heard it, is The 12 Pains of Christmas.
No.
My God, why has nobody heard this song?
No one's ever heard of your favorite one. You'll have to play it in the show.
The first thing at Christmas that's such a pain to me is finding a Christmas tree. The second thing at Christmas that's such a pain to me,
rigging up the lights
and finding a Christmas tree. The third thing at Christmas that's such a pain to me,
hangovers, rigging up the lights
and finding a Christmas tree. The fourth thing at Christmas that's such a pain to me,
sending Christmas cards,
hangovers, rigging up the lights
and finding a Christmas tree. Christmas that's such a pain to me, 5 months of bills,
sending Christmas cards,
hangovers, rigging up the lights
and finding a Christmas tree. The sixth thing at Christmas that's such a pain to me,
facing my in-laws,
5 months of bills.
Oh, I hate those Christmas cards,
hangovers, rigging up these lights
and finding a Christmas tree. The seventh thing at Christmas that's such a pain to me,
the Salvation Army,
facing my in-laws,
5 months of bills,
sending Christmas cards,
oh jeez,
I'm trying to rig up these lights
and finding a Christmas tree. The eighth thing at Christmas
Christmas, that's such a pain to me.
I want Red Farmer for Christmas.
Charities, and what do you mean you're in-laws?
5 months of bills.
Ah, making out these cards.
Edith, get me up here, huh?
Well, we have no extension cords.
I'm finding a Christmas tree.
Finding parking spaces.
Daddy, I want some candy.
Donations.
Facing my in-laws.
5 months of bills.
Writing out those Christmas cards.
Hangovers.
Now why the hell are they blinking?
And finding a Christmas tree. The tenth thing at Christmas that's such a pain to me.
Battery's not included.
No parking spaces.
Buy me something.
Get a job, you bum.
Facing the in-laws.
5 months of bills.
Yo-ho, sending Christmas cards.
Oh, jeez, look at this.
One light goes out, they all go out.
And finding a Christmas tree. The 11th thing at Christmas, that's such a pain to me.
Stale TV special.
Batteries not included.
No parking spaces.
Oh, my God, go to the bathroom.
Charities.
She's a witch, I hate her.
5 months of bills.
Oh. These people.
Who's got the toilet paper?
Got a flashlight and no fuse!
And finding a Christmas tree. The 12th thing at Christmas, that's such a pain to me.
Singing Christmas carols. Still TV special.
Batteries not included.
No parking.
Charities.
Gotta make them dinner.
5 months of bills.
I'm not sending them this year, that's it.
Shut up, you.
Fine, you're so smart. You ring up the lights!
And find a Christmas tree.
I definitely am going to have to play it. I'm going to have to send it to you because it is hilarious. Yeah, the first thing at Christmas that's such a pain to me is buying a Christmas tree. The second thing at Christmas that's such a pain to me, ringing up the lights and buying a Christmas tree. I will have to send it to you, and I will have to play it in the show.
Yeah, you'll have to play
it. I remember when I first heard this. This was because I think this song was released in the 90s. Mm. So it was one of the things that I remember first hearing this. I was laughing my ass off. And so it surprises me when I find out somebody's never heard that song.
Yeah.
It really does.
I quite like the Star Wars Christmas album.
As opposed to the Star Wars Christmas special.
Nobody likes the Star Wars Christmas special. Apart from the cartoon bit in the middle with Boba Fett. That bit's good.
I saw that. I've only seen that Christmas special on the Nostalgia Critic's review of it.
Right.
And he can't make that thing good.
No. It's an hour and a half of torture.
And apparently Wookiee porn.
Well, if that's what you're into, who are we to say that you're wrong? You know, each to their own.
Well, according to the Nostalgia Critic. Have you seen that review of that?
No, I haven't. I could barely make it through the Star Wars Holiday Special. I have no desire to relive it.
They were questioning what the grandpa was watching in that one scene.
When they're at Kashyyyk.
Yeah.
Excellent. Good. Like a
but definitely all the different. I mean, I have some great, you know, I have some ones by Jeff Foxworthy that are pretty funny. Bill Invall, who's a Southern comedian, he does a bit called "Here's Your Sign." Mm. I don't know if you ever heard it.
No.
But he has a list of like Christmas "Here's Your Sign" songs. Basically, "Here's Your Sign" is basically, you know, you're stupid, basically, right. Let me see if I can think of one. So I walked into a supermarket and I wanted to buy a pair of pants. I put the pair of pants on the cashier counter. She goes, "Are you going to buy those?" "Nope." "Going to steal them. Wanted you to see them before I walked out." "Here's your sign." His favorite one he likes to tell is, you know, I was on the highway and I got stuck behind this truck, and this truck gets stuck on underneath this overpass. Me and the trucker are sitting there talking, and the policeman comes, And he looks at the truck and he looks at the truck, and I'm going, my God, he can't say it. He's a paid official. He can't be that stupid. Hmm. But sure enough, he goes, get your truck stuck. Well, this is a beat. This trucker whipped his head around and said, nope, I was delivering that overpass and I ran out of gas. You can move the southern boy up north, but you can't take the south out of the boy. Which makes no sense. Oh.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah. But
we have the same thing. You can take the boy out of Liverpool, but you can't take Liverpool out of the boy.
Yeah. But I think that's a great segue into, for some reason, I can't figure out why, into favorite holiday TV specials.
It seems like we get lots of variety different things. The traditional Christmas special over here was always led off by Markham and Wise, who I presume never made it over to America.
Mm-hmm.
All right, because Markham and Wise were this hugely popular comedy duo that ruled television throughout the 70s and 80s, and then Eric Markham died, I think, in the early 90s. But fortunately, they'd made enough Christmas specials that they've just managed to recycle them. So every year there will be a Markham and Wise Christmas holiday special on, probably from about 1974. Or they'll do a clip show of bits from all of them. And then they'll have people on saying how wonderful they were and stuff like that. And it's, you've got to get, at some point, you've got to go, no, they're dead now. Let them go. But no, there will always be a Markham and Wise special on at some point.
Well, I think British television is figuring out the same thing that hopefully a lot, I think, really should be obvious, that, you know, there is a market if you market it right in America. Because damn near the way Doctor Who is taking off over here in America, to the fact that people... Well, I'm trying to think of the word, put their computer at risk to go on certain websites just to watch Doctor Who.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the Doctor Who Christmas special has become a tradition. We try to be home for Doctor Who because it's normally on about 7:30, 8 o'clock on Christmas evening. So you'll normally get EastEnders and then Doctor Who and then Strictly Come Dancing, and then EastEnders will normally come back on. And that's normally Christmas Eve, but Angela always watches The Nightmare Before Christmas every Christmas, and Muppet's Christmas Carol is the one that she watches every Christmas, because that's actually a very faithful take on A Christmas Carol. Just because the Muppets are in it, they're not sending it up. And Michael Caine plays it for real. Michael Caine has said it's one of his favourite things he's ever done. Because as far as he was concerned, he was playing Scrooge in a real production of A Christmas Carol. The fact that he was doing it with Muppets was irrelevant to him.
Well, it was a very good movie. I think what really helped that movie, that because it was a very faithful translation from the play and the book to a movie, it's just that the comedy, I think, made it better. Because I think that's the hard part, is that there's so many great one-liners and great comedy in there.
Mm.
I can just recite off the top of my head. Sir, the rats would like to know if they could maybe have an extra piece of coal for the holidays. How would the rats like it to spend the holidays in the unemployment line? Heat wave! This is my island in the sun. Or, of course, you know, Rizzo and Gonzo just steal that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, because Waldorf and Statler aren't in it that much.
They're really only in that one scene, you know, where they're the ghosts of Scrooge's past partners.
Yes, Michael was just reenacting that moment. As he sat here on the laptop doing notes for the show, he was just reenacting the Waldorf and Statler scene.
Oh, that, I can imagine that would be hilarious to see.
Yeah.
My favorite is the same one that's the favorite of everyone, which is, you know, light the lamp, not the rat, light the lamp, not the rat. But it doesn't take away that, you know, it's a very faithful production of A Christmas Carol.
Yeah. Just because the Muppets are in it, they're not sending it up. It's actually probably one of the better adaptations. I mean, we'll always try and watch a proper Christmas Carol if it's on. Again, Angela likes the Patrick Stewart one.
Oh, yeah, I like that one, too. So, and my favorite, actually, is of the top three, Muppet Christmas Carol, which is actually a movie, but that's besides the point. the Patrick Stewart one, and then the original, I believe it's like the 19... I remember it's in color. Is it the one in color or the one that's in black and white? I can't remember. But I know there's one that was like 1950s, and then there was one in color like the 1960s.
Mm-hmm. The Alice the same one as the black and white one, I think.
Yeah. I just can't remember which one I'm trying. All I remember is Scrooge telling the kid to buy Tiny Tim this giant Ferris wheel toy.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the one thing I can remember. And him walking with a bunch of kids behind him holding, you know, the turkey and the Ferris wheel toy as they go to Tiny Tim's house.
Yeah.
But for me, actually, I celebrated one of the specials things I do, or one of the TV specials I want to watch every year last night because it was on. But that is How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Oh, yeah. We get that every now and again.
And that is just every year just seems like it's more beautiful and beautiful to me.
Mm.
But since we were talking about the Muppets, the two big Muppet Christmas specials for me. I mean, well, there's many different Muppet Christmas specials. All of them are good. You know, there. I mean, and that includes Edgar and Edgar Olliter. I can never get this name right.
Go
the
on.
Jug Band Christmas.
The man who banned Christmas.
The man who banned Christmas?
Is that not what you said?
No, I said the jug band.
Oh, right. So, because you faded out a second, though. Sorry.
I apologize. No, Emmett Otter. You know which Muppet thing I'm talking about?
No.
And I'm sure there are people who are yelling at me.
No idea.
It was by the Jim Henson Company. It follows this otter. But my favorite is A Muppet Family Christmas.
Yeah.
That I watch every year. I'll probably be watching it later tonight.
Are you? Has all your Christmas television, has all that started already?
Really the only one I saw was started last night, and that was The Grinch That Stole Christmas.
Right, so that's
I think
gone.
Yeah.
Right.
But I'm sure How a Grinch Stole Christmas will be shown again and again throughout the holiday season.
Yes, probably. There's a couple of TV things that I always try to watch at Christmas. I'm a big fan of the Moonlighting episode. It was the episode before Christmas. Have you ever seen that?
I do not recall that episode.
Are you too young for Moonlighting? Are you just now going to make me feel old?
Do you mean The Honeymooners?
Moonlighting with Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd.
I know who Bruce Willis is. Apparently that was a show. But of course,
well, we're almost there then if you're aware of Bruce Willis.
But I do not recall ever watching the show Moonlighters.
Moonlighting was on in the mid-80s when I was about 13 or 14. And I went through a short period where I actually wanted to be David Addison, which was Bruce Willis's character. And they did two Christmas episodes, both of which are very good. The first one's Twas the Episode Before Christmas, where the premise of the show, if you've never seen it, is Cybill Shepherd plays a model named Maddie Hayes, who is swindled out of all of her money by her bank manager. And she starts liquidizing all of her assets to try and make some money back. And one of her assets is a detective agency. And Bruce Willis's character, David Addison, convinces her not to sell the detective agency, but actually come to work with him, because being a detective is jolly good fun. And the show carried on from there. Essentially, it was just about the relationship between the two of those. And the key gimmick to the show was the characters knew they were in a TV show. And nowhere is this more in evidence than in the Christmas episode, not only from the title, Twas the Episode Before Christmas, which kind of gives you an idea of when it originally aired. But the end of the episode, the camera just pulls back to reveal the set. And then all the cast start stringing Silent Night. And then all the crew come on and start singing Silent Night. And then all the crew's children come on and start singing Silent Night. And it's a really good episode. Richard Belz is in it. as the
Richard. Oh, I know Richard Belton.
He's in it as the bad guy, and he's very, very good in it. That's one of my favorite Christmas episodes.
Which shows you I've watched way too much Law and Order Special Victim Unit.
Well, to me, Richard Belton's the guy who's always after the Flash. Because I don't watch a lot of Law and Order. So Richard Belzer was the reporter on The Flash to me. But he's in this episode, which is very good. Essentially, they're doing the Bible. Ms. DePesto, who is the receptionist at the detective agency, just opens a door and there's a baby on the doorstep. And the premise of the episode is they have to try and find who the mum and dad are. And it just escalates into silliness, because that's what Moonlighting did. And there's an episode of Magnum P.I., that I really love, called Operation Silent Night, which essentially is just the four main characters. Are you too young for Magnum P.I. as well?
Well, I was going to say, I'll say this. Depending on what point of the mid-80s you're talking about, I was either just born or not in this world yet. But I do know of Magnum P.I.
Magnum ran from 1980 to 1989, so you were probably very tiny.
Well, with that being said, though, if you're going to say the A-Team, I do know the A-Team.
Right. Okay.
I have watched my share of the A-Team, much to my mother's dismay, for whatever reason.
I don't think I ever did a Christmas episode of the A-Team. I
could be wrong. I was watching the A-Team one day, it's like, my God, you like the A-Team? My God, what is wrong with this child?
Everybody likes the A-Team. If you
well, my mother's the one, apparently.
You did. I don't think mothers were genetically predisposed to liking it. I think it was supposed to be us that liked it. So I like the Magnum P.I. Christmas episode as well.
But to segue back to Muppets, because I had my mind completely stuck on one special that I couldn't remember, but the Muppet Family Christmas I like. Have you seen the more recent one? I don't know if it's made it over to Britain, but Letters to Santa?
Nope. I haven't seen any of the Muppet TV movies from... Yeah. I don't think I saw any of the Muppet movies from after Muppets Take Manhattan up to the new one with Jason Segel. I think there's a huge gap there that I've never seen.
That reminds me, I still have to get the recent movie because it was awesome. But, but you know, you had the... Basically, it was the version of a Muppet Christmas Carol with... It's a Wonderful Life with Kermit. And that one's funny just for the mere image of Sam the Eagle in a rave costume with a pacifier in his mouth, raving.
I don't imagine Sam at a rave.
But the more recent one is Letters to Santa. And it really is a good special. It's got tons of guest stars. We were talking about Law and Order. On the actual Law and Order, well, you said you don't get Law and Order.
Oh, we get them. I just never watched it.
Oh, okay. Well, one of the detectives during, I want to say, the mid-thousands, he's a black gentleman. He's in it. Nathan Lane guest stars in it as a disgruntled TSA security guard. Right. With the giant bear from like Muppets in Space, Whoopi Goldberg plays a cab driver.
Okay.
Heidi Klum is in it. But basically, the premise is that the Muppets are living in this New York apartment building, and they're going away for the holidays. Gonzo promises one of the neighbor's daughters that he'll mail her letter to Santa. Well, he forgets. So him, Kermit, Fozzie, Rizzo the Rat, and I can never remember his name, but the Prawn, basically have to try to find their way to Santa. Mm. But my favorite bit is actually at the beginning. The scene opens them at the post office, and Miss Piggy's there, and like, I can't believe this line is moving. Somebody get me the mayor to get me to the front of this line right now. The guy in front of her turns around and goes, yes, Miss Piggy, and it's Mayor Bloomberg doing a guest spot.
Right.
And he goes, oh. Mr. Mayor, I want you to take me to the front of the line right now. He goes, well, Miss Piggy, that would be rude. And if there's anything us New Yorkers are known for, it's our politeness. And Miss Piggy does this slow turn and looks directly into the camera and goes, what has he done to this city? I love quoting that. It's... as it shows.
Yes.
The Rankin Bass specials, you know, Rudolph, Frosty.
Yeah.
You know, me being a big animation buff, you know, I love sort of those classic animations. And then all the Hanna-Barbera Christmas specials from the Flintstones, Scooby-Doo, Yogi Bear's First Christmas. And pretty much from all the different, like, cartoons that, you know, the First Christmas Elf, which is a Hanna-Barbera from, I believe, the mid-80s.
Yeah.
That basically this troll who doesn't like scaring people gets excommunicated from this mountain of trolls and becomes the first elf of Santa. There's an animated movie called The Life and Adventure of Santa Claus.
Right.
That I really, really love. And then there's the different, you know, holidays. It's really funny watching anime version or anime's Christmas specials, because Christmas in Japan is just fucked up.
Like everything else.
Yeah. But no, it really, in Japan, it really is more of the commercial aspect of the holiday that's celebrated. And it really is just like, hey, this is our point to put the cute girl in her episode in a Santa outfit, which I guess you can't complain about too much.
No, that seems like always a good plan to me.
I just want them to put Pamela Anderson in an outfit that's two sizes too tight.
Just watch Baywatch every week.
But let's move on to holiday movies. And I mean, we already started with Muppet Christmas Carol. So what are some of your favorite holiday movies?
Well, the one I watch or try to watch every Christmas isn't actually a Christmas movie, but it came out at Christmas time originally. And it was one of those films like The Wizard of Oz that was on every Christmas, even though it's not actually a Christmas film. It's a little low budget movie called Superman. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
You know what? It's one of those movies that, you know, is either centered around Christmas or it came out during Christmas. I'm the same way with Disney movies. I try to marathon pretty much from like The Little Mermaid to Tarzan.
Yeah.
Because they all came around in the holiday season.
Oh, right. See, I'm sure Tarzan came out over here at Easter, because we were watching that at the cinema.
Mm. But Superman came out around you during the holidays.
Yeah, Superman came out at Christmas.
Because I don't remember like Superman coming out here.
Came out in America on December the 15th, 1978, and we got it a couple of days later. Because I remember I saw it over Christmas, and it's the first film I saw at the cinema as a child. I think I'd seen Pinocchio before that, but Superman was the first movie I saw at the cinema.
Yeah, I was about to say, well, of course I can't remember. I wasn't born when Superman came out. Again, making you feel old.
Yeah, that would be a drawback to remembering when it came out.
But I think this is a proper place to say A Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes.
Finally.
Yes, yes, yes. That's always on. We've got that on DVD.
But what are others for you?
I don't really, other than the Doctor Who specials, I don't really watch a lot of Christmas movies other than I like a bit of Die Hard.
Even though that's on my list, Die Hard and Gremlins.
Gremlins was on one Christmas Eve, one Christmas a couple of years ago when I was really ill on Christmas Eve, and I just lay on the settee all day and did very little. But I don't normally do much on Christmas Eve anyway, so most people didn't notice. But Gremlins was on, and Gremlins is a great Christmas film. And I like It's a Wonderful Life, because everyone seems to have this idea that It's a Wonderful Life is this saccharine movie that's just going to make your teeth ache with the amount of sugar in it. And it's always just like a shock to say to people, have you actually watched It's a Wonderful Life? Because it's actually quite dark if you actually sit and watch it properly. So I like explaining to people that It's a Wonderful Life is actually a guy contemplating suicide. And they're always like, you watched the same film I did? Yeah, I'm pretty sure you weren't paying attention.
No, I watched it. That He is contemplating suicide.
That's when Clarence shows up.
Which is the whole point of the movie, but I still think it's a good movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie. And it's a brilliant movie. It's wonderful.
It's a movie that I've actually never watched all the way through. I've seen the entire movie, but it's one of those movies where I've only seen it. I've seen the entire movie, but in bits and pieces. Like, one year I watched this point. The next year I was a little bit late, so I watched it from a certain point to the end. And so I've seen the entire movie, just not in all one sitting.
No, I sat down and watched it from start to finish with my wife, who'd never seen it. I mean, this is a couple of years ago now. In fact, it's many years ago now, because I think it's just after we moved in. And that was when Michael was a baby, and he's not a baby anymore. So, and she'd never seen it all the way through. And it was one of those, wow, this is actually quite bleak moments when you sit down and watch it and realise that, no, this isn't a variety show. It's a great film. It's a Wonderful Life. I don't like the colourised version.
I don't think I've seen the colourised version. I've only seen the black and white.
I'm not a fan of the colour. There's a Channel 5 over here showed the colourised version one year, and I think I left it on for about 30 seconds before, no, this isn't right, and turned it off.
Well, for me, you know, actually that just reminded me, because it was one of the focal points of the episode for Robin trying to get Batman to watch it. But back to TV specials for just a moment. The second episode of Batman, the animated series, Christmas with the Joker.
Christmas with the Joker I always try to watch because it's hysterical.
Yes.
Jingle bells, Batman smells, Robin laid an egg.
Where it came in the lexicon.
Yeah. I really like the other Holiday Nights that they did for Batman animated series, which I think is brilliant because it's just a straight adaptation of a comic book.
You know, here's the funny thing about that. I just watched that episode recently, and I do like the Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn part of it, but the Batgirl part of it, there's the part where she goes to, you know, undress.
Yeah.
And the clothes, and I'm like, well, you know, considering that there are kids all around here, I was one of those kids that one of the ways I would get away from my mother was hide in between the clothes, and like in the rack, the little circle rack.
Yeah.
I can only just imagine peeling it open, and here's this luscious redhead, butt-ass naked, as she's changing into a latex bat suit.
Yes, it's a lot more, have you read the comic it's based on?
I don't think I was able to pick up that particular issue.
I think it's just called the Batman Adventures Holiday Special. It's a lot racier in the comic than it is in the show.
Well, I'll have to check. See, whenever somebody says racy comic, I get, like, I'll give you an instance. I recently actually was able to pick up Batman 400.
Oh, yeah.
After listening to you and Michael talk about the issue, I went to a small little comic book show, and I was able to find it and bought it for $20.
Oh, right. That's not bad for that.
Yeah. And so you talk about, you know, that is a nice ass shot of Ivy. Well, I guess maybe because I'm more of a modern reader, I expect, ass shot, it must be like Ed Benes, you know.
Oh, no.
Ass, right? No. It's just like, well, it's an ass shot, but it's not quite what I was expecting.
It's all relative. You got to think Batman 400 came out in 1985, 86. They were a lot more subtle then. The Black Cat's costume essentially covered her from neck to toe, whereas now she's got it all the way open to her belly button. So when you say it's racy, in comparison to the cartoon, it's a bit racier than the cartoon is. But it's still a PG-rated comic. You know, she's not flashing herself at you. I wouldn't get that excited.
Well, I'm not saying I'm getting excited.
No, but
if I get excited, I'll look behind me at the Terry Dobson Black Cat poster I have on the wall.
Terry Dobson stuff. But it's there's a couple of jokes in it that didn't make the TV version, is what I'm saying.
Well, I can only imagine with Paul Dini and...
Yeah, and Bruce Timm.
All of them. Yeah, I can only imagine, but... No, but yeah, I do like Christmas with the Joker because Robin in it is hysterical as well.
Robin's like, funny. Because I think that's the first time we saw him as well. Because that wasn't shown first, even though it was one of the first or second episodes they made. They kept it on the shelf till Christmas, didn't they? So I think that may have been the first time we saw him.
Yeah, that was the first time we saw Robin, and then we went to see Robin... For, I wish I could I really don't want to bend down and go pick the volume one out of my DVD case. But I think for 10, maybe 12 episodes, because I think the very next episode he was in was a Scarecrow episode.
Yeah. And because his Robin's appearances in the first series of that show are very sporadic.
Yeah.
He's not in a lot of them. I mean, I was just...
Yeah. See, I'm more of a fan of, like, the first couple of seasons, you know, before they moved to the WB.
Because
I did not like the animation change.
Right, the redesigns.
Yeah. I mean, some are okay. Batman's is okay. I can't stand the Joker's redesign.
Yeah, a couple of people said they don't like his eyes. Yeah, the next on the list, the episode list here, the next one I've got is Robin's Reckoning. So he wasn't in it a lot at all.
Yeah. To try to segue this back to movies, I don't know why I keep using the word segue, because there is no segue there. We said Die Hard, Scrooged.
Yes.
With Bill Murray.
But it's purely for the first 10 minutes that has Lee Majors in it, which is just genius.
Well, oddly enough, I found out there's actually an earlier version of this. I don't know if you've heard of it. The first episode of these holiday specials features Holly Golightly, who is an artist, colorist and artist for Jim Balin.
Oh, yeah.
For his Tarot Witch of the Black Rose comic.
Right.
And his wife.
Oh, fair enough.
And so I had her on, and apparently she told me, because we were talking about this movie, there's apparently a much earlier version of the Scrooged story. So, I that's something I found out recently.
Right.
I still have to look that up. I'm sure a lot of people don't know that either.
No. I mean, because the Bill Murray one directed by Richard Donner is great.
Oh, it is great. It is hysterical. Because it's Bill Murray at his best.
Mm.
And talking about a comedian at his best, in the case of Chevy Chase, because that is a segue, Christmas Vacation.
Oh, the Chevy Chase things.
Yes.
The National Lampoon stuff.
Yes, National Lampoon. I love that movie. I love watching that every year. There are so many hysterical, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, kiss my ass, kiss my ass, kiss his ass, Happy Hanukkah. Which I could just like that, start reciting. That's when you know a movie's good, when people can start reciting lines off
Yeah, start quoting it back at you.
And then, of course, the rant at the end, which I may play at the end. I have it on my computer. A Christmas Story. Do you guys get A Christmas Story in Britain?
I've never seen it. I've heard Scott talk about it because it's the one with Darren McGavin, isn't it?
Yes, and
Adam, a fan of Darren McGavin, so he's told me about it.
And Adam West narrates it.
All right. Well, there's two reasons to watch it.
It really is the sort of the quintessential Christmas classic. For those in Britain who've never seen it, it really is. It's just the plain story of a guy recalling, a time when he was young, back in the 1950s. It really is. It's like The Godfather. It's one of those movies where, Godfather's. I'm sorry. I was watching a Godfather documentary and it confused me. which makes no sense. I'll try to say, because people quote The Godfather now. But in this case, it is one of those things where everything that happens in the Christmas Story, there's always a scene everybody can relate to.
Yeah.
Whether it be, for me, it was that moment of, opening the presents, to the moment of being caught saying a bad word and having soap put in your mouth.
Oh, yeah.
I remember having soap put in my mouth. Having your tongue stuck on a frozen pole.
Right.
It really is sort of this quintessential look at sort of Christmas as it used to be in the 50s.
Yeah.
And it's just a really fun, you watch it at least once a year. I do have a friend, though, that's personally sent a thank you letter to Ted Turner.
Yeah.
He's thanking him for buying the rights to it, so it's only on one goddamn channel a year, so he can block that channel every year.
See, we've just started getting the Christmas 24 channel, which just shows Christmas movies 24 hours a day, and they've all got decent people in them, but there's nothing you've ever heard of.
Mm.
They're all reasonably recent.
Are there any other holiday movies that you enjoy?
I'll pretty much leave anything on if I'm not doing anything else, but as a rule, they're the main ones.
Mm. I think the only two last ones I can think of are Adam Sandler's Eight Crazy Nights, just by the mere fact that it's like the only Hanukkah movie.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, again, since we do include movies that take place during Christmas time, Gundam Wing, Endless Waltz.
All right, okay. That's fair enough.
So I think we've made it to our last question. And in regards to the fact that, you know, what we both are, we are both comic fans. So what are some of your favorite sort of holiday-themed Christmas comics or holiday-themed comics in general?
Any issue of Batman that ends with him singing Silent Night, you can't go wrong, to be honest with you. I do like the rather goofy DC Comics Presents issue where Superman teams up with Santa Claus against the Toy Man. That's quite a fun one. There's the Frank Miller Batman one, which is largely notable just for the Frank Miller artwork. There's a ton of Spider-Man ones that take place around Christmas that aren't actually Christmas stories, like the first time he fought Stegron happens at Christmas time, but they're not actually Christmas issues. There's an issue of Marvel Team-Up that I quite like, where he teams up with the Watcher for Christmas, and the Watcher's his usual useless self, saying, well, I can point you towards the trouble, but I can't actually interfere. But by telling me this, you've interfered, so why can't you just tell me what the problem is? But my all-time favourite is Marvel Team-Up number 79, which, again, isn't so much a Christmas issue, other than it takes place at Christmas, but Peter Parker and Mary Jane are at the Daily Bugle Christmas party, and Mary Jane gets overtaken by the spirit of Red Sonja.
Again?
Yeah, it's an every other week occurrence, I grant you. But it's got some awesome Byrne and Terry Austin artwork, and it's a really, really good and underrated issue. And actually quite hard to find, I think, now, because Marvel don't have the rights to Red Sonja anymore. So in the
that's something I'll definitely now have to search.
You
said Marvel Team Up 79.
Marvel
Team
Up 79 is.
Damn! If it was only 10 issues before, we could have called it Marvel Team Up 69.
Yes, but alas, it's not. Especially with Red Sonja not wearing very much. It's written by Chris Claremont, and it's Claremont, Byrne, and Austin when they were at the peak of the X-Men.
My God!
It's a really, really good issue. Obviously, it's not in the Essentials reprints.
It should be.
Because of the whole deal with Red Sonja, and you need to hit the back issue bins for that one. There's the Brave... Oh, go on, sorry.
I was going to say, well, you know, because you said that, did you pick up the couple... Or did you ever get the... a couple of years ago, in fact, I want to say it was 2007, 2008, there was a Spider-Man Red Sonja miniseries that came out.
Yeah, I think that was just before they lost the rights to it. And I think when they did the trade collection of that, they did include this issue of Marvel Team-Up. But since they've lost the rights to Red Sonja, it's not in the Essentials. So it always struck me as a bit weird that it's in that trade for that miniseries, but they had to skip it out of the Essential black and white reprints. That's a shame.
Yeah. But you're going to say Brave and the Bold.
There's a Brave and the Bold issue that takes place on Earth 2 with Batman and the Huntress, which is really, really good. That title, I think that's Brave and the Bold 184. And there's a magnificent issue of Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man by Peter David, issue 112, that has a fantastic Kyle Baker cover of Santa Claus with a cigarette in his mouth and a gun in his hand. That you need, if the very least, you need to look at the cover, because that's a fantastic cover to that issue.
Well, I'll know. I'll be re-listening to this and like, okay, Spectacular Spider-Man 119.
Yep. So track that down. And the aforementioned Batman Adventures holiday special that we just talked about, that is essentially just was adapted into Holiday Nights, but it's a great read on its own.
I really don't have that many holiday comics Really, the one big one I have, and it's because it takes place during a funeral for a friend.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the issue where all the superheroes try to do what Superman does every Christmas, where he goes to Metropolis mailbag and tries to complete wishes of different kids for the holidays.
Yeah.
And so it takes all the different superheroes and Guy Gardner's being Guy Gardner.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a very fun issue.
Yeah, because the two Metropolis mailbags they did before that were Christmas issues, they were very good as well, weren't they?
Yes, they were. Well, I actually haven't seen those, but I just, again, because, hell, I can't quote his name enough, Michael Bailey. but, he's talked about those before, and so I know from there, then I finally was able to pick up that issue of Funeral for a Friend, and it really is a great read.
Yeah. And any Calvin and Hobbes that takes place at Christmas.
Or Charlie Brown, for that matter.
Yeah, see, I never really got into Charlie Brown much. I remember the TV shows being on when I was a kid, but I never really read the Peanuts strips. Yeah. But I adore Calvin and Hobbes.
I can't believe I can't believe we forgot to talk about the Charlie Brown Christmas and Thanksgiving specials.
Yeah, well, the Christmas specials, they're on over here, but they're not on the heavy rotation that they're on in America. But the Calvin and Hobbes stuff where he has all the snowmen in various stages of death. Have you seen those? They're just fantastic stuff.
I have to go find them.
Calvin and Hobbes is genius.
I think the only other holiday-themed comic that I really know that I have goes back to Jim Balin's Tarot, Witch of the Black Rose,
yeah.
Which, as I always say, is an actual underrated comic. I think people generally see it as, hey, boobs.
it's
Jim Balin, but, there's more to his artwork than that.
Yeah, well, I think the same thing about Ed Benes. For ages, I've been the one saying, actually, if you ignore the tits and ass, he's actually a very, very good draftsman. And people are always like, well, it's very hard to annoy the tits and ass when they're right in your face. But it's slowly, recently, he seems to have been drawing stuff that isn't primarily based around the fact that he can draw a good woman's figure. And people have finally started to see that he's actually really a good artist.
Yeah. But, of course, Jim Balin does his comic book. And there's issue 40. 41. I just had talked about this like last week, and I've already forgotten. I want to say it's issue 41, yeah. But it's basically the first part of the issue is, Taro and the gang, and, they're having a Christmas. It's Taro, it's John the Skeleton Man, it's her sister Raven, their mother, Boo Cat, and Licorice Dust. And they're all in winter gear, and they have a snowball fight that said, hey, let's go sledding. And they go sledding, then all of a sudden these fairies appear, and they zap them naked.
Yeah, right.
And, of course, you have your usual jokes. And the other half of the issue is they have a character that they've only, appeared twice in the comics for these little funny bits called a Spellorella.
Oh, yeah.
And it's basically this little Christmas thing where a bunch of monsters come over to celebrate the holidays with Spellorella. And, of course, she gets strapped naked. It's a common theme with Tarot in the later issues. So some people would argue that.
It seems like a recurring trope.
Oh, it's an awesome recurring trope, if you ask me. Which is making me look at my Tarot pictures that I have on my wall.
Mm.
That I got, or should say bought, from Jim Balin. They came last week, and they're so awesome.
Is it T-A-R-O?
T-A-R-O-T.
Right. Oh, tarot as in tarot card, right.
Yes.
I may have to look that up.
Yeah, one of the pictures I have is it's a Halloween picture. It's a half moon, and it's got tarot, and she's got two pumpkins that say trick-or-treat on them, or jack-o'-lanterns that trick-or-treat on them.
Mm.
And, of course, she's holding them right where her breasts would be. But really, those aren't the only comics I have. Are there anything else, maybe comic book related, that you can think of?
No, because I've got I had a list of them written down here. There's a great issue of Amazing Spider-Man that I forgot about, where he gets kicked out of his apartment. Amazing Spider-Man 314, where him and Mary Jane get kicked out of their apartment at Christmas.
Mm.
That was a good issue, a good Christmas story.
Yep, yep. Well, Andrew, thank you so much for it's been fun.
Yeah,
it really has.
Thank you for inviting me.
Do you want to let people know where they can find Hey Kids Comics and all of your other podcasts? Because I know you do a couple others.
Well, Hey Kids Comics is me and Michael, who is my 17-year-old son. And we're available every Thursday at aplayland.podomatic.com. Starting in the new year, we are moving networks. So we're like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And we're going to move networks over to the Two True Freaks. And we're going to be part of the Dimanzo Corps. So we've already signed away our souls to join Dimanzo. I also do Fantasticast with Stephen Lacey, which is available at fantasticast.libsyn.com. So you can check that out as well. And that's it, really. That's all I do on a regular basis. I'll show up where anyone wants me, really. I'll show up at the opening of an envelope if that's what people want.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present the opening of the John Burns envelope.
Hmm.
Look how it's blank inside.
But I'm there, so that's all that matters.
But thank you so much for coming on. And, of course, folks, you, of course, can find me at all the other places you can find me. I won't, you know, do the usual pimpage because, damn, we'll be here all night. And Andrew has to get up early tomorrow morning. So.
Yeah, it's a last work. Gets in the way of having fun.
Yeah, it does. But that's it. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And remember, happy holidays, everyone.
Happy Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever it is you celebrate.
It's that time. Christmas time is here. Everybody knows there's not a better time of year. Hear that sleigh. Santa's on his way. Hip hip hooray for Christmas vacation. Got a ton of stuff to celebrate. Now it's getting closer, I can't wait. Wait and see this Christmas vacation. This old house sure is looking good. Got ourselves the finest snowman in the neighborhood. Ain't it fun? Always on the run. That's how it's done on Christmas vacation.